Be in 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3. I'm going to read for you verse number 8 through 18, and I'm taking verse number 11 for a text verse. Look in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter number 3. If you don't have a Bible, by the way, I can't give you one right this minute. I've got two or three up here. But if you'll see me after church, I'll be glad to give you a Bible. It'd be yours to keep. And so we'd be glad to do that for you. 2 Peter chapter number 3, let me read verse number 11, my text verse, and then I'll read the rest of the verses. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 11, it says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness?" All right, I want to take a phrase out of there that says, "What manner of persons ought ye to be?" So I'm talking today to you, not how to be saved. I'll put that in there. But how should you act after you're saved? What manner of persons ought ye to be? We're talking about that. Look up in verse number 8, and I'll read down through the end of the chapter. It says, "But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Let me stop there for just a minute. I talked to you from that verse last week. God is not slack. He's not a slacker. He knows what he said, and he keeps his promises. That's what he's talking about there. He's not willing that any should perish. God does not want people to go to hell. A lot of people will go to hell, but God does not want them. They'll have to stumble over the cross in order to go to hell. He's not willing that any should perish, but they should all come to repentance, to a place of repentance, where they'll turn from their own way and they'll turn from their own self-righteousness and turn to Jesus Christ. That's what God wants. Every person in the world could possibly be saved because Jesus shed his blood. But they're not all going to be saved if they do not believe on Jesus Christ. Verse number 10, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." That's an important verse there. It says it again over in verse number 12. Verse number 11, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God." Now here it's the day of God. Over here it's the day of the Lord. "Wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace without spot and blameless. And account that the longsuffering of our Lord is salvation." In other words, God is longsuffering, he's kind, and he's patient. Why? He wants you to be saved. That's why he has allowed you to live as long as you have. If you're not saved, he is long-suffering. And that long-suffering means that he wants you to be saved. It is salvation. Verse 15, "An account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest." In other words, they twist the scripture out of its place, "as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." Verse number 11, be our text verse. It says, "What manner of persons ought ye to be?" You pray with me and for me. Father, we pray that you'd help us this morning. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing to your people. Thank you, God, for the privilege to be here, to stand here. Father, I pray for that 1, 2, 3 folks who are not saved this morning, that they might see their need of a Savior and come to Jesus Christ and accept him as their own Savior. Please help me to preach. Bless your people, I pray. And thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. What manner of persons ought you to be? People spend a lot of time here on earth, here on this earth, building up mansions and empires and all kinds of things like that, trying to be happy. But according to the Bible, which we just read, it's all going to burn up one of these days. Everything will be burned up. We can't stop it. It's a matter of prophecy, and it will come to pass. I showed the people this morning what this is all about here on a drawing I've got. Jeff, would you pick up that drawing for me over there and bring it right over here? And I just want to quickly point out something for you. The day of the Lord, and when the earth burns up. I don't have time to go over the whole thing, but just briefly. Let me hold this side and you hold the other side. Over there where Jeff is, that first little mark there, that's Adam. The second mark is Abraham. The third mark is Moses. Right here is the cross where Jesus Christ died on the cross. Here's where you live in the church age. You live in an age of grace. One day Jesus will come and take us up. He'll come back down. There'll be a millennial kingdom. At the end of the millennial kingdom, there'll be a great white throne judgment, the final judgment of all the ages. I'll show you the scripture in just a minute. But after that, the way I've got it figured, here is where the heavens and the earth are burned up and made new. That's way out in the future, but it will happen. Now, all of this right here, where the rapture, the tribulation, the millennial kingdom, and the white throne judgment encompasses the day of the Lord. Okay, thank you. You said it back over. He's not talking when he says the day of the Lord. He's not talking about a 24-hour period there. Now, in Genesis chapter number 1, when he said, on the first day he created this, on the second day he created that, that's a 24-hour period. See, the first day God said, let there be light, and there was light. He divided the light from the darkness, 24-hour period. He made the sun, moon, and stars. That's day 4, 24-hour period. Here, it's a period of time, a long period of time, the day of the Lord. Everything will be burned up, see? Everything you can see, it's all gonna vanish. Whew, gonna be burned to a crisp. It's all gonna go up in smoke. It's a matter of prophecy. Can't stop it. It will come to pass. Amen. Verse number 10 says, the day of the Lord, that's what it's called. It's a period of time. It encompasses what I told you. All of that kind of stuff. Look in your Bibles, please. Turn over to the right from where you are to Revelation chapter number 20. Let me read a few verses for you. I wanted to show you, I know a lot of you know this, but some of you don't. I want to show you the final judgment of all the ages. And let me tell you something. When you find it, I want you to look up here. The final judgment of all the ages is for the unsaved dead. There is a judgment for the saved, a judgment for the unsaved. You want to make sure that you go to the judgment for the saved. You don't want to go to this judgment right here. This is for the unsaved. Man, it is a scary thing. There's a great white throne. That's scary enough right there. Guess who's sitting on that throne? Jesus Christ is on that throne. All judgment has been committed to Him, to the Son. He earned the right to judge because He came down here, walked in our shoes, lived a perfect, sinless life without any problem. Look in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 20, verse number 11. I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, there's found no place for them. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books, according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Thank you. You can turn back. Let me ask you something. Is your name written in the book of life? If you're saved, then God wrote your name in the book of life. But if you haven't been saved yet, you need to get saved. Let me tell you something. I have never wished that I was not saved. I have wished, that is, in the last 48 years. I've been saved for 48 years. June of 1970, I got saved. I lived at 3006 30th Street in Lubbock, Texas. Somebody came by my house, a preacher by the name of T.H. Mayfield. and told me about the Lord, and I got saved right there in my little one-room house with my wife standing there. We had no children at the time. I have never wished I wasn't saved in the last 48 years. I have wished I hadn't done a lot of things that I've done. I wish that. But I'll tell you something, folks. It's better to be saved than it is to be lost. It's better to be in church than it is to be out of church. I've been on both sides, and I know that it's better. You're not going to miss anything by not coming to church. You're not going to miss anything by not coming to church. You're going to miss something if you don't come to church. You're going to miss out. You're going to miss out, see? Listen, one of these days the heavens and the earth will be all burned up to a crisp, and they'll be remade. There'll be new heavens and a new earth. I should have showed you this verse while he was over there. Revelation 21 and verse number 1 says this. John saw it, Revelation 21, 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea, in verse number 2. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Look, folks, that New Jerusalem there, that's where you're going to spend all eternity. That's heaven for you. That's heaven. That's things are going to come down out of heaven. When Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Y'all remember that verse? John chapter 14, verse 1, 2, and 3. Here's one fella saw it. The rest of you didn't see it, but I got one young boy here saw it. He raised his hand. And see, that's that New Jerusalem. That's what we're looking for. That's heaven for us, you see. All your cars, all your houses, all your boats, all your RVs, the brick, mortar, metal, trees, grass, gas, building, mansions, slums, neighborhoods, highland poles. Thank God all the highland poles will be gone. All the highland wires, they're all going to be gone. Wires, everything, the whole earth, even the heavens, the atmosphere, the air will be burned up. It'll be purified. It'll be purified and made new. Verse number 13 there says, look at verse number 13 in our text, 2 Peter 3:13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. All of the effects of sin will one day be gone. It'll all be gone. You know why? Because in eternity there can be no sin, because sin brings death. How many of y'all know the verse in Romans 6:23? Which says the wages of sin is death. Brother, that's still true. That is true today. The wages of sin is death. All of us old folks can tell you about that. You don't want to, there's a lot of things you don't want to do. You don't want to try it out. Wherein dwelleth righteousness, the effects of sin will no longer be in the whole universe. All sin has to be eradicated. Sin is anything that goes against what God says or what God has said. And so the question is asked, since all of these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? What kind of people should we be? Number one is found in the text verse there. Verse number 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be? Number one, in all holy conversation. How should we be? He's not talking about getting saved here. Now, look up here. If you're not saved today, I want you to be saved first. That's what's got to happen to you. You've got to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Turn from your own self-righteousness and turn to Jesus Christ. You're a sinner. We're all sinners. And Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He bore your sins in his own body on the tree. He's buried and he's raised from the dead. That's what he's done for you. That's what he's done for you. He's waiting for you to trust him to be saved. Forget about your church. Forget about somebody's church. Forget about this church. Forget about that church. Forget about all that stuff. Forget about water baptism. Forget about how good you are, how bad you are. None of that stuff. Just think about Jesus, and he died for you, and you've got to trust him as your Savior. He's your substitute on the cross. He's your substitute, and he wants you to be saved. But then after a person gets saved, how does God want us to live? Number one, he says here, in all holy conversation. Conversation is your manner of life. That's what God wants for us, you see. It's not about getting saved. Look in your Bible. Turn back to the left just a little bit there. Just about two pages, one or two pages. 2 Peter chapter number 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2, and I'm sorry, it's 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 24. 1 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 24. Look what it says in 1 Peter 2:24. It says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." That's a cross made from a tree. "That we being dead to sins," now notice what it said, "should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." You see, Jesus Christ died on the cross not so you could keep on going the way you're going. He died on the cross so that you could be saved and have eternal life, and then you could live for him. You could live unto righteousness. That's what he wants for us. He did not die on the cross so that we could keep on going the same way, but so we could live for him. I want to be holy, but man, I got some problems, don't you? You have any problems? I got some problems. You know what it is? It's this dirty flesh that's hanging on me. It's this flesh that causes me problems all the time. That's the problem. I'd like to be holy. I'd like to be holy all the time, but the flesh gets in the way. I'm holy at times maybe, but not all the time. In the Bible, there's a lot of things holy. God wants us to be holy. There's holy ground. That's the first time the word holy is mentioned in the Bible. Holy ground, there's Holy Ghost, there's Holy Spirit, holy apostles, holy Father, holy brethren, holy hands, holy calling, holy scriptures, holy places, holy priesthood, holy women, holy mount, holy men, holy commandment, holy prophets, holy conversation here, holy one, holy faith, holy city, holy angels, holy Jerusalem, holy covenant, holy. The word holy means this. It means to be set apart. It means to be set apart for God. It means to be sacred, set apart, pure, blameless, consecrated, set apart for God's use. You take this building right here. You take this pulpit right here. This pulpit is sacred in one sense, that it's set apart for just preaching for God. That's all we do with it. You take this building right here. It's just a building, except for one thing, that it's set apart for God's people to come and come in and worship God. So it's holy in that one sense. Otherwise, it's just a plain old building. God does not live in buildings. God lives in the hearts of people. He lives in the hearts of Christians. That's where God lives, you see. So holy means sacred. Jesus Christ is called the Holy One of God. Jesus is the Holy One of God. He is the only one who is perfectly holy in every place. In every place. 100% of the time. Me, I'm just holy part of the time. Maybe every once in a while. How about you? How often are you holy? Just every once in a while. God wants us to be holy all the time, but can't do it. But Jesus Christ is the only one that fits the bill. He's holy all of the time. Let me give you an illustration. On the Mount of Transfiguration, some of you be familiar with the Mount of Transfiguration. Matthew chapter number 17, verse 1 to 5. Jesus Christ went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He went up there and he took three men with him, named Peter, James, and John. They went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. There's Jesus up there, Peter, James, and John. There's two guys already up there. That's Elijah and Moses. So there's six people up there, five men, Peter, James, and John, Elijah and Moses, and then Jesus Christ. They're up there, and Peter, James, and John, they got all excited, and they said, "Lord, it's good to be here. Why don't we build three tabernacles? One for us and one for you. We'll just build three tabernacles. We'll just stay up here." He thought it was good. But God spoke from heaven, and here's what God said. God looked down there, and he saw these men. They're some of the most holy men who ever lived. Peter, James, and John, apostles. Elijah and Moses. Man, who is like Elijah? Who is like Moses? The greatest men in the Bible who ever lived. He looked down and he saw them and he went right by them. He went to his son. And he said about his son, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." He didn't say that about Moses. He didn't say that about Elijah. He didn't say that about Peter, James, and John. He passed them by, the greatest men who ever lived, and he went to his son. His son is the only one who was ever perfectly holy and righteous in every point, all the time, 24 hours a day, for 33 and a half years when he went to the cross.
He was holy and righteous. He's the only one that could die on the cross for our sins. He's the only one that ever fit the bill. He's the only one that God ever said He pleased me all the time. Maybe you please Him a little bit. Maybe I please Him a little bit. I hope every once in a while. But all the time, no. No, I never do that, see. I'll go home this afternoon and I'll probably do some things. See, maybe while I'm up here hollering, I might be okay. Maybe when I'm up here teaching, I might be okay. But brother, when I get away, I'm just like you are. I think you are all about the same, aren't we? Don't we all have this flesh hanging on us? Don't our flesh have a mind of its own? It wants to do this and it wants to do that, see? And so we all sometimes follow the flesh, and that's not good. He doesn't want us to, but you know the truth. You know the truth. Jesus Christ is the only one whom God ever said, "This is my beloved Son. I am well pleased in Him." He not only said it there, but He said it in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17 when Jesus came to be baptized of John the Baptist. He was baptized in the water. As He's coming up out of the water, God Almighty spoke from heaven. The Spirit of God descended upon Him as a dove. There you have the Trinity, the Father and the Spirit of God and Jesus Christ in the water. Jesus Christ spoke from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." See, He's been living for 33 and a half years. 30 years, I'm sorry. He's been living for 30 years on the earth. He's been a teenager. He didn't sin when He's a teenager, kids. When He's a junior boy, He didn't sin. When he's a teenage boy, when He's past the teenage years, He didn't sin. He didn't start His ministry till He's 30 years old. Luke 3:23. About 30 years old, the Bible says, when He began His ministry. All that time, He didn't sin. He didn't lust in His mind. He didn't go astray. He obeyed His Father. If He had not obeyed His Father in every point, He could not go to the cross. He could not go to the cross. He has to be the pure, perfect, sinless Son of God on the cross in order to bear our sins. You see that? Now look, my point is, the verse there, verse number 11, seeing all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought we to be? Number one, holy. I have to move on. Number two, there's other points there, but I don't have time to give them all to you today. Number two is verse number 14. Look in verse number 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent, that you may be found in Him, found of Him in spot without, in peace without spot and blemish. Number two, not only should we be holy, but we should be diligent. Diligent. You're a Christian? Y'all remember this morning, a while ago, I told you about singing? Let's just talk about that for a minute. Be diligent. Be diligent in your work. If you want to succeed in anything, you know what you got to do? You got to be diligent. You know what it means to be diligent? It means constant effort. Constant effort. Sometimes I see somebody and they get saved, and I'm always gullible, see? I think, oh man, we got a good one here. I'm telling you, this person here, they got saved, and they mean business for God, I can tell. They stay around a little bit, poof, they're gone. You know why? They're not diligent. You know what I call them? They're flash in the pan. They're flash in the pan. They flash up real good, you know, and then they're gone, and then after a while, it sounded good for a little bit, but then they're gone. They're flash in the pan. Well, I expected some this week. I expected some last week, but they flew the coop. They done flew the coop. You know why? They're not diligent. They're not serious Christians. Are you a serious Christian? Brother, you're not a serious Christian if you don't take up your cross. Amen. If you're not a disciple, where are you going to be tonight? I won't get much amens for that. You don't have to say anything. Amen. Are you a serious Christian? Jesus said, if any man will come after me, it's not easy. It's not easy to be a serious Christian. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You got to be diligent. You want to be diligent? Then be diligent. You got to work hard on your job. Being a Christian, teaching, preaching, singing. You pick up that hymn book, man, sing your heart out. Don't be messing around. Sing out. That's your chance. That's your opportunity to be a blessing to people, a blessing to God, for God to hear us. God, we're singing. We're singing to you. See, people don't do that. But you got an opportunity there. You're supposed to be diligent. Be diligent in your service for God. There's a lot of scriptures we could look up. But back over there, I read you a scripture last week, 2 Peter 3:9, that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. See, sometimes we slack off. God remembers his promises, and he will keep his promises. Everybody, all of us know somebody, know people that used to go to church. They have excuses. But let me tell you something, folks. We can't run from God always. We can't run from God always. People are going to have to turn, and they're going to have to face God one of these days. Put something into your service, and you'll get something out. Be diligent. Be diligent. I know sometimes you feel tired. That's what that means. Constant effort. Just, you know, no let up. That's diligence. And that's the way church is sometimes. Y'all try being a preacher. No let up, see. No let up. You know, you get a couple of days off and you got to get another sermon, see. Got to get another sermon. And hey, you can't just get up here and fool around.
That's right.
See, I can't do that. I'd like to. I'd like to sometimes just stand up there and I'm just going to put my head down. And I never write out a sermon, you know, because I don't know how. I put some notes down and I'd like to just stand up there and talk and, you know, and okay, y'all can go now, like that. I wouldn't have to expend energy. I wouldn't have to expend so much energy, see. But then when I get up here, I said, I can't do that. I can't do that. Amen. These people come to church and they need some spiritual food. And so, Amen. So I got to put something into it.
Amen.
Because I want them to get something, see. So you got to do that. That's for all of us, see. You put something into it. And when you come to church, be a part of the church. Greet people. Your part is to sing and to praise God and encourage other people. Be on time. Do your part. Whatever part you're supposed to be doing, be diligent about it. So number one, as a Christian, after you get saved, seeing all these things are going to be dissolved, everything's going to be burned up, what manner of persons ought we to be? Number one, you be holy. Number two, you be diligent. I think number three is beware. Beware. Look down your Bible. I think it's down about verse number 17. Verse number 17. Verse number 17, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware, lest ye also being led away from with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. Okay, now listen carefully. You can be led away with the error of the wicked. Number two, you can fall from your own steadfastness. Now look up here. You cannot fall out of salvation. Turn in your Bibles back just a little bit to, let me see. It's 2 Peter chapter 1. Same book, 2 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 10. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 10. Everybody got it? 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 10, it says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. There's that word diligence. To make your calling and election sure. Look what he says. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. He is not talking about falling out of salvation. He is not talking about losing salvation. Amen. He's talking about falling from your place of service. Falling from your steadfastness, you see. That's what he's talking about there. You can't fall out of salvation. You couldn't fall out if you wanted to. If you're saved, you're a part of Jesus Christ, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. You're in his body. You're sealed unto the day of redemption. But you can fall from your place of service. You can fall into sin. A Christian, yes, a Christian can sin. And God won't leave them. but they'll lose the fellowship of God and they will reap what they sow. You're not going to suffer for sins in eternity. Jesus paid for them. You pay for sin here, right here. Stay out of it. I told you last week, sin will kill you. Jesus said, beware. Beware. I pray that I do not teach error to anyone. Jesus said, beware. Luke 12:1, he said, beware of them. Beware of leaven, which is hypocrisy. Paul said in Colossians 3:5, beware of covetousness, which is idolatry. Jesus said, beware of the scribes in Luke chapter 20 and verse number 16. Jesus said, beware of false prophets in Matthew 7:15, which he said, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but underneath there are ravening wolves. Beware. Jesus said, beware. He said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, Matthew 16:12. Now, I got one here I want you to look up. Turn your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter number 12. Mark chapter number 12. And let me see. Mark chapter 12, verse number 38. Mark chapter number 12 and verse number 38. All right, here's Jesus again. Mark chapter 12, verse number 38. And he said unto them in his doctrine. We get sound doctrine from the Bible. He said unto them in his doctrine, beware of the scribes, which love to go in long clothing. And they love salutations in the marketplaces, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and the uppermost rooms at feast, which devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers, these shall receive greater damnation. And it goes on there. You know anybody that loves to walk about in long robes? It sure ain't me. I wouldn't wear a robe. I wear a robe from the bedroom to the shower. That's where I wear a robe. But I don't wear a robe anywhere else. Do you know Jesus Christ didn't wear robes? He had a coat that was woven throughout. But the Pharisees, they wore robes because they wanted everybody to greet them. We got people now in our world who wear long robes, religious people. Beware. Beware of false doctrine. Beware. I prayed I never teach anybody false doctrine. Amen. One last thing, and I'm finished. The last verse in that chapter. Look at verse number 18. Verse number 18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him be glory both now and forever. Amen. You know what the last thing is? Since seeing all these things should be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? Number one, you ought to be holy. Number two, you ought to be diligent. Number three, you ought to beware. Number four, you ought to be growing. You ought to be growing as a Christian. Don't just sit there. Grow as a Christian. Read your Bible. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. The Bible will help you to grow. Shouldn't a Christian, look here, should not a Christian at least as a minimum know the books of the Bible? Come on. Don't you think that'd be a good thing to do? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, you know, all those. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Don't you think a Christian ought to at least, come on, learn the books of the Bible? A minimum. How about John 3:16? Don't you think we ought to at least memorize John 3:16? For God so loved the world. You know, come on, memorize a few verses. Get it in your head and in your heart, you know, so it'll come out your mouth. Amen. Grow. Grow as a Christian, see. Take it seriously. Be diligent. Be diligent. Come on to church. Fill your pew. Bring somebody with you. Learn how to witness. All those kinds of things, you see. We should grow as spiritually as a Christian so you can help other people. How are you going to help anybody if you don't do that? That's what God wants for us, to grow as a Christian, but grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. See, that's about how we ought to live. But if you're not saved, God's not too concerned about how you live. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to come and trust His Son, Jesus Christ. You can call upon the Lord.
If you believe you're a sinner and you know that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, if you'll come and trust Him and say, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. Please save my soul. Just call upon Him and He will save you and give you eternal life. Look, it's a free gift. It's free. Y'all looking at me? Are you listening to what I'm saying? God wants you to be saved. You can be saved today. You can know you're saved. Christians, how are you living? He wants you to live right. Let's bow our heads, please, for just a moment.